Hello, and welcome to this daily devotional podcast presented by Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this time of scripture, reflection, and prayer a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. This series of devotionals follows our daily Bible reading plan, which coincides with our current sermon series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke. You can find the scripture readings for today by downloading our daily Bible reading plan. You can find that plan at concordunited.org/Bible. Finally, we invite you to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone who might benefit from it. Today's devotional was written and presented by Neary Beaver. The scripture is Luke chapter 21, verse 29 through chapter 22, verse 23.
In our passage today, we hear of Luke's telling of the Passover meal Jesus shared with his disciples before his death. Spoiler alert, and his resurrection. In Christian church tradition, this has become known as the Last Supper. Jesus and his followers had made the journey to Jerusalem, as many others also did, for the Passover. Passover is the time set aside annually to remember the years of captivity and the ways God had delivered his people out of slavery in Egypt. They remember Moses and Aaron coming to speak for them to Pharaoh, and the plagues that came when Pharaoh refused to let them go. The last plague was the loss of all firstborn males of people and animals alike. The people were instructed to choose a year-old lamb or goat from their flocks, sharing with their neighbors if needed, to make sure that all could share in the meal. Then they coated the doorframe of their dwelling with the blood of the chosen lamb or goat, and then prepare the meal a certain way. The covering of blood over the doorframe allowed those inside to be spared of this plague, and it passed over them. The people were instructed to eat this meal in haste, with their cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Exodus 12:11a. They were also told that this would be a lasting festival to the Lord and added a key element building on the foundations of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Israel, and Joseph thus far to understand themselves going forward. God set Passover aside as being a key part of the identity of God's people. Even so today, all over the world, people are preparing for the upcoming Passover to remember the history as well as to reflect on their own personal journey of being held captive by something and the journey to freedom. It is no accident that Jesus the Messiah journeys to Jerusalem with those with him to fully celebrate the Passover as they had done ever since the first one. But this time, Jesus adds more. He takes the bread without yeast, symbolic of the sudden freedom and leaving of Egypt, gives thanks to God the Father, breaks it, and gives it to those with him and says, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 22. Matthew 26:28 also says that Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." I wonder what they were thinking in that moment. Did they reflect on all the times Jesus already had made the connection that he was the fulfillment to all the things the law, culture, and traditions had been built on? Did they remember Jesus reading the scrolls in the temple and saying they had been fulfilled in him? Did they remember the miracles of healing, provision, forgiving sin, and restoration they had witnessed with their own eyes? Did they feel the agreement within their spirit and see that Jesus was the lamb that covers them just as the first covering over the doorframe? Or were they still confused, glitching that Jesus had gone away from the script that they knew so well? Did they pause and mumble to themselves that Jesus had got the words wrong? In the same way that the first Passover became such an essential element in defining the people of God, so too this moment with Jesus has defined a core element of Christianity. Not to replace the first Passover, but to build upon it. Jesus is our ultimate covering. He is the one who forgives our sins. In the days ahead, we will continue to walk the journey with Jesus and his disciples through Jesus' arrest, trials, crucifixion, death, resurrection, and the days that followed. I think my favorite moment occurs just after Jesus dies and the curtain of the temple was torn in half from top to the bottom. This account is found in Matthew 27:51, Mark 15:38, and Luke 23:45. The curtain that they are talking about was a huge, heavy curtain that separated the place set aside for God to meet with the priest after following strict purification rules. It was restricted to only a select few and had a lot of responsibility with it. God is so pure and holy that the things that are not of him that we engage with, called sin, makes a barrier between us and God. He can't be near it. But since the fall in the Garden of Eden, God has always made a way for a relationship between himself and all of his creation to stay connected. That is the purpose of the Old Testament laws and rituals. But here, at the moment of Jesus' death, that curtain, that barrier that separated the people from God, was ripped apart in a way that it was only God that could have done it. It was too tall, too heavy, too strong for a person to tear it in half from top to bottom. Jesus became the bridge to connect us directly to God. Jesus is the once and for all atonement and cleansing for all sins. He did the work, and we get to choose to receive it and stand with him or not. That choice is one we get to make daily in how we maintain that relationship. In other words, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have closed the gap from a long-distance relationship to a face-to-face one, and we get to decide what kind of relationship we want to have. Just as with a marriage, the status of married is only a piece of it. That doesn't mean if there's a disagreement or a rupture in the relationship that suddenly they are no longer married. That peace remains until an active choice and process is taken to change it. Yet, being married in and of itself doesn't mean anything about the state of the relationship. How the relationship functions is what matters. The open access we have to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because of Jesus is why we as Christians celebrate and remember Jesus' sharing of the bread and cup at the Last Supper the way we do. The different church traditions that we have developed over time approach this differently. Some call it communion, as we do in the United Methodist Church. Others call it Eucharist, Holy Communion, the sacrament, etc. In the United Methodist Church, all are invited to share in this remembrance together. Some churches incorporate it into the weekly services, and others perhaps once a month and at times like holiday celebrations. I do think the what, how, and when have important pieces to contribute, but for me and my encouragement will always be the why as the most important. I've experienced a meal with friends around a normal kitchen table where we have taken a moment to pause and share our meal and our drink in remembrance of gratefulness for all that God has delivered us from. I've been in high holy places filled in awe and wonder to partake in deep reverence and gratitude of the King of Kings and the Divine Creator. And I've sat in a pew at a church in Kentucky, feeling so covered in chains, held fast by locks with no keys, feet covered in the muck and mire of walking through sins of my own selfish choosing, sitting with my head, my heart, my body, and my soul utterly divided and at war, sitting, holding the tray of communion that had been passed to me. In that moment, my friends, I was afraid and I didn't know what to do. I was born and raised in knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was the one true God. Even choosing the things that I had, I still knew he was God. I knew that there was a lot of rubble between us in those days. And I knew I wasn't ready to walk away from where I was and thus couldn't take the bread and the cup from a place of authenticity and true worship. But how could I not take it? If I actively refused, it would be passed by. Wouldn't that be the final straw? That would be the point of my no return? But I knew that I couldn't be one to do it without meaning it. So, with a scared and shaky breath, I passed it on without taking it. I remember feeling steeled for heaven to rage at me. I anticipated another heavy chain to be placed over me as I passed it on. But instead, I heard the turn of a key, the opening click of a lock, and the sounds of a heavy chain clattering to the ground. I looked and I was met with Jesus so close to me, smiling and holding the key. I heard him saying, "Ah, there you are, my beautiful girl." That's the honesty and authenticity that we needed. My friends, in these days ahead, I hope that you too can take the moments needed and really sit with where and how you are. Within yourself, with those around you, and with the one that created you and loves you so completely. I hope that you can experience all that he is and has for you in fresh new ways, even in ways that might surprise you. I encourage you to risk authenticity, even in the places it seems the scariest. And as we journey through the cross to the resurrection, I hope that you can engage with it with the why of your whole heart first, followed by the what, the how, and the when. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for being our Father, our good brother, and our guide and advocate. Thank you for doing everything possible, moving heaven and earth to make a clear path to be close to us, to know us, to love us, to use us to be spreaders of all the good fruit you offer. In this season, we invite you to close the gap even more and meet us where we are individually, to show us in new ways who you truly are and who we are in you. Stir up our hearts, Lord, for connection with you and with those around us. Lead us back to the roots of our why. In all this we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's daily devotional. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United Methodist Church. For more information about our church, including worship times, mission opportunities, and study groups, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to visit our YouTube channel, where you can see past worship services, including the current sermon series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke. Finally, we would be honored if you gave this podcast a positive rating so that others can find it and benefit from it.